From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Early this morning, under cover of darkness, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld landed in Iraq to meet with senior Iraqi officials and inspect the country's security forces. At Camp Victory, an American base outside Baghdad, Rumsfeld watched a demonstration by an Iraqi counterterrorism team. And at a briefing, he gave his assessment of the training effort.
I sense that the coalition effort is well organized, focused, and that the professionalism of these units is advancing.
But Rumsfeld also said that more time is needed to train and equip Iraqi forces before American troops can come home. NPR's Ann Garrels has this report on the effort to get Iraqi units ready for duty.
For almost a year, 29-year-old Army Captain Dan Gelderman has worked with a battalion of Iraqi National Guard. When he arrived, American troops would send off a squad of Iraqi troops as needed. But this on-again, off-again relationship didn't pay off. His men from the 1st Cavalry Division now live and train with the Iraqi battalion. It's a model the American military is pursuing. But Gelderman rotates out in a month, and he'll be leaving slightly disappointed.
I can't lie and say that when I came in here, I had grandiose expectations that we would be well beyond where we are now. However, there are a lot of issues, a lot of cultural issues that we had to work through.
He confronted a fatalistic attitude, a lack of initiative inherited from Saddam's regime, and corruption. Solving these issues was not that straightforward.
We had a first sergeant who was causing a lot of trouble, and we tried to get rid of him. But he was in bed with some of the higher leadership in the ministry. So he's causing a lot of trouble, selling weapons. He's accused of criminal activity. We couldn't touch him.
And keeping men from deserting meant the Americans had to bend over backwards sometimes, accepting behavior they normally would not.
You have to let them get away with some things, because they have to get away with some things in order for them just to stick around long enough to learn. And then once they learn, it becomes contagious.
Last September was the low point. Insurgent attacks on the battalion reached an all-time high.
We were hurting for people. We were losing soldiers and leaders for fear that they or their families would be killed. We had a period of a couple of weeks there where we had a soldier that was either wounded or shot or killed almost every day.
At 30, the Iraqi battalion commander is not much older than Gelderman. Though only a major in the old Iraqi army, he is now a full colonel, albeit with little experience. It's been a tricky business rehiring officers, balancing talent and past Ba'athist ties. And American officers admit they didn't have a good nose for who was who. Colonel Ali, as he's known, has not been a disaster, and he stayed put despite threats. He says he hasn't dared visit his house in Baghdad for 10 months. Everyone in his battalion has received threats. 200 of his 900 soldiers have quit over the past 4 months.
He's between two fires, either to continue with his unit or get killed. So in that case, like, their families are keeping their sons not to join the unit.
This Iraqi battalion is now responsible for its own sector of Baghdad, but it's a tiny area, and American officers are always there to solve problems and provide essential logistical support. Iraqi Sergeant Mehdi echoes the words of just about every Iraqi soldier. His unit needs better supplies.
It's weapon and vehicles as well. And it's like they need barracks because we live in tents.
As yet, the battalion deploys with little more than 150 rounds of ammunition and an assault rifle each. They have Japanese pickups and soft-skin trucks instead of American armored personnel carriers. But despite this, Sergeant Mehdi is determined to stay on.
Security, government, progress. This is what we are insisting on.
Morale of the Iraqi forces appears high after the elections, during which they safely secured the vast majority of Baghdad polling sites. But attacks on Iraqi security forces are again on the rise as insurgents try to burst the post-election bubble and undermine this new confidence. Iraqi National Security Advisor Mufaq al-Rubai says after many mistakes, U.S. training is much improved, but there's one thing the Americans can't do for the Iraqis.
The multinational forces cannot give that moral mission
message, train them mentally and psychologically against the enemy. And this is left to the Iraqis, and unfortunately the interim Iraqi government has not done it. It's one of our, mistake, we have to admit.
The election may have been a boon, but lasting effect is unclear. Rubai agrees with Rumsfeld, who said today it's ultimately up to the Iraqis to wipe out the insurgency. But for now, Rubai too says it's too early to discuss a U.S. withdrawal.
Until and unless we have a fully trained Iraqi security forces equipped and professionally conducting their business, we cannot say to the multinational forces, thank you very much, you can go back home now.
Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.